This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It is World Health Day and the slogan this year is Small Bite, Big Threat, because the theme is vector-borne diseases. While that might sound technical, well, it's merely a reference to diseases that are spread through an agent such as dengue or even malaria. In the studio with me to explain more about vector-borne diseases is Dr. Rose Nani Mudin. She's the head of vector-borne disease sector, disease control division, Ministry of Health, Malaysia. And we're going to be talking all about, you know, dengue and malaria. If you have a question for her, send it through 016-201-9000 or tweet at BFM Radio. Welcome to the show, Dr. Rose. How are you today?
Yeah, fine. Hi, Myra. Hi.
Dr. Rose, vector-borne diseases has been selected as a theme for this year's World Health Day. I mean, you would think that it's not a disease that affects everyone in the country. I mean, in certain areas, it's, you know, it's more than the rest. But why vector-borne diseases?
Yeah, because even from the WHO reports, it says that even half of majority of the populations actually living in the tropical and subtropical country.
Mm-hmm.
So this population is actually high risk of the vector-borne infections. And there are a lot of vector-borne diseases, for example, dengue, malaria, yellow fever, schistosomiasis, which some of us still not aware of these diseases. So I think that's actually why WHO highlight the importance of vector-borne diseases for this World Health Day theme this year.
Okay. Is it an obviously it's an increasing problem. What is fueling this problem?
Yeah. Especially for dengue, there's a global increase for these diseases, especially in the tropical country. But as of for malaria, there's a downtrend of the diseases. So it depends on the type of diseases that we have in that particular country, and of course the type of microbes or pathogens that we have in that particular area.
Mm-hmm.
So like dengue usually occur in the urban area, but malaria in the rural area.
Okay.
So there's a certain place with certain diseases and maybe different times.
Does Malaysia have many malaria cases?
For Malaysia, we managed to reduce our malaria cases. For example, like in the 1960s, we have more than 200,000 cases.
Wow.
But for as of 2013, we only have 3,850 cases.
Mm-hmm. And whereabouts are these cases?
Majority are in the Sabah and Sarawak state, because a lot of rural area, a lot of jungle, and where we can find a lot of Anopheles mosquitoes.
Right. Yeah. Could you tell us the history of the vector-borne disease and how, you know, the rise of insecticides has actually affected the spread?
Yeah. Vector-borne diseases actually was known as early in the Jin Dynasty, because there was a written in the Chinese medical encyclopedia,
mm-hmm.
which they mentioned that dengue was called as a water poison, which is they said associated with flying insects. In terms of insecticides discovery, starting in 1940s, where they found the synthetic insecticide, and actually this insecticide helps many of the vector-borne disease control in many countries.
Mm-hmm.
And after 1940s, where they started to use this insecticide, a lot of country has actually managed to reduce the vector-borne diseases in their country.
Right.
Like I think in the Caribbean country, in the south America.
Okay.
Country. Dr. Margaret Chan, WHO director, she says that simple, cost-effective interventions like insecticide, treated bed nets and indoor spraying have already saved millions of lives. Are these measures that have already been put in place in our country in terms of awareness?
Yes, of course. Actually, all this intervention is already incorporated in our management of the vector-borne diseases. For example, for our National Strategic Elimination Program for Malaria Disease, it is one of the main strategies that we use. And Malaysia actually adopted all these strategies, integrated managements from the WHO. And it is all incorporated in our national strategic plan, especially in the dengue, in the chikungunya, filariasis, and in the Japanese encephalitis disease control.
Are they all due to the mosquito?
Yeah.
All of it due to the mosquito.
Yeah. So, yeah.
What is it about the mosquito that makes it so conducive to pass on this disease?
Yeah, this
it's a virus, isn't it?
Yes. Some of the microbes are virus. Some of them are plasmodiums. Mm-hmm. Actually, these mosquitoes, they are capable of keeping the microbes in their body, and this microbe can grow in their body. Mm-hmm. And then these vectors, this mosquito also can transmit the microbes, the virus or the plasmodium, to other healthy individual. So, there are many types of mosquito. For example, Aedes mosquito, Anopheles, Mansonia. And these different mosquitoes actually transmit different diseases. So there's a lot of factors actually influence the increase of vector-borne diseases in our country.
Like crossing international borders. So I'm assuming air travel and travel in general is not really the best for vector-borne diseases?
Well, we need to take precautions. For example, if we go to the endemic country, because traveling actually brings either, if people come from the endemic country, they might bring these microbes or this pathogen in their body, either virus or plasmodiums, and they bring it to our country, or vice versa.
We take it out.
Yeah, we take it out, or we go and visit this endemic country and bring back all these pathogens to our country. Mm-hmm. So it is the more people travel, actually, the more risk of this infection can be transmitted from one country to another.
Have they always been there, vector-borne diseases? Did we manage to eradicate them at any stage?
Yeah, in 1950s, I think there's a lot of countries managed to eradicate malaria. Mm-hmm. For example, in the European country, in the North America, and the South Central America. So in the 1955, where all these countries actually managed to carry out their global malaria eradication program. So they managed to eradicate the disease from their country. Yeah.
How did they do that, and why are we struggling then? I mean, aren't we capable of doing that too?
Well, we do. We are actually also in the elimination phase.
This is for malaria?
Yeah, for malaria.
But we don't seem to be very successful with dengue.
Yes, because our environment, we have a lot of arthropods in our environments. We have especially mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. Vector-borne, if we need to tackle the vector-borne diseases, we need to tackle the environment, the humans, the pathogens, and we must have a tools to eradicate the pathogens, the microbes. We need to have, for example, malaria, we have medications, but for dengue, we don't have any medicines to treat dengue. We don't even have vaccine to prevent dengue infections.
It is very, very challenging task, isn't it?
Yes.
Why is that?
Yes, because we have the vectors around us. There are many. We can find it everywhere in our country.
Yep.
Because of the climate, and of course the the population increase of population growth, the urbanizations, the deforestations actually play a major role in the transmissions of the disease.
There's a question via text message. Why is it in hot weather there seem to be more mosquitoes?
Oh yeah, because when we look into the mosquitoes' behavior, mm-hmm. During the hot weather, they become more active, and their biting frequency is also increased. So, for example, in the Aedes mosquito, usually they bite like 4 to 5 times a day to four or five different people when they carry the virus with them. And this also can cause the transmissions of the virus. And during the hot weather, the biting frequency might increase. So they might bite more than 5 times.
So do they need to just bite you once, or one mosquito bites you and you can get infected?
Yes, it is possible. Depend on how many virus load in the mosquito body, in the mosquito stomach, abdomen. So if there's a lot of virus, even one bite can cause infections to a healthy person.
And it's as simple as that. That is how these insects spread pathogens. They just have to bite you,
yeah,
and you can get infected by it.
Yes.
Provided.
Yes.
Okay. Provided, of course, the arthropod is actually infected as well, isn't
yes,
it? Okay.
Yes.
Not all dengue mosquitoes are bad. Only
yeah.
if they have the virus will they be dangerous.
Yes, they only get the virus from the infected person. And then, of course, they transmit the virus to another healthy person.
Right. We're discussing World Health Day, which is themed vector-borne diseases this year. So as a result, we're discussing dengue, malaria, you know, two of the most common vector-borne diseases here in Malaysia. Malaria on the decline at the moment. None in Peninsular Malaysia, mostly in Sabah and Sarawak yeah. due to rural areas. But dengue is a fight. I have no idea whether we will ever be able to win this fight. But we'll come back and find out more up next. If you have a question for Dr. Rose, send it through 016-201-9000 or tweet BFM Radio.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. I'm Mira Sivasodhi. Dr. Rose Nanimuddin, Head of Vector-Borne Disease Sector, Disease Control Division, Ministry of Health Malaysia, with me. We're discussing World Health Day. And this year's theme is vector-borne diseases. Dr. Rose, you know, dengue is such a big problem in this country. But families living in affected areas are one of the WHO's main target audience with this campaign. What are some of the examples of areas that one would need to be very wary of in our country? Are you just saying urban areas and that's it? Because earlier on you did say, you know, it seems to be, you know, focused in urban areas.
Yeah. As I mentioned, depend on the disease. For dengue, mm-hmm. is mainly in the urban area. But for malaria, filariasis, they are usually occur in the rural area. So actually, for all of them, we need to advise, for example, to protect themselves from being bitten by the mosquitoes, regardless any types of mosquito, either Aedes or Anopheles or Mansonia, they need to protect themselves from being bitten from the mosquitoes. So they can either use repellent, or they can sleep in the bed nets, mm-hmm. or they can use long-sleeved trousers or shirts, mm-hmm. and avoid. They can use also aerosols to kill the mosquitoes.
I've always been against aerosols, Dr. Rose.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the healthiest thing to spread around the house. But what's the best way to, you know, use aerosols and manage it?
Well, you don't need to use it 24 hours. You can look at, for example, in your area, if it's more on dengue cases, mm-hmm. you must understand when is the best time to use. Usually around 5 to 7 a.m. or 5 to 7 p.m. where these Aedes mosquitoes are very active. And usually at this time, they like to bite humans. Mm-hmm. So this is the time it is best for you to use the aerosols. And not all the time. I mean, not the whole day. You need that. You don't need to spray the whole day.
Yeah. But still, you know, using them. Many diseases, of course, develop new strains, and I'm assuming that vector-borne diseases are not exempt. They also develop new strains.
Yes.
How does that make a difference towards the dengue fever when it does in fact present itself? Does it depend on the strain?
Well, because of the various types of diseases caused by the vector-borne by the arthropods, so it depends on the types of disease. For example, the new strain can cause by either if this occur in the zoonotic due to the zoonotic animals, mm-hmm. for example, from the monkeys, and it can be transmitted to the monkey carries the Plasmodium, for example, and when it's being bitten by the Anopheles mosquitoes, and this mosquito actually can bring the Plasmodium to human.
Mm-hmm.
So depends on what type of animal that you have around you. And beside that, there's other factors that might influence the new strain, for example, drug resistance or any other new serotypes in the virus. So this depends on the medications, on the environment itself.
The WHO seems to be focusing on lower income families. Is there a reason for that?
Yes, in for example, like malaria, when it occurs in the rural area, most of the populations are from the low income people. So that's why, depending on the area that, as I mentioned, some like filariasis, malaria, they are more of this disease actually occur in the rural area.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why the WHO was focusing on the low income society.
So what measures should travelers take to protect themselves when they travel?
Well, for travelers, before they go to the country, they must know, they must search for information. What are the most common communicable disease, mm-hmm. in that particular country, and to take precautions. And for vector-borne diseases especially, they can use like they can bring their insecticide bed nets, they can bring a repellent, they can use a long-sleeved shirts or trousers.
The WHO says that dengue is the world's fastest growing vector, vector-borne disease. What have been factors behind making it so? I mean, besides a lot of us living in tropical countries, I mean, what has sped up the, you know, how dangerous this is?
Well, dengue actually influenced by many factors, various factors. As I mentioned, the environment, mm-hmm. the virus itself, the humans, and also the cleanliness. The cleanliness of our environment. So all these factors need to be tackled before we be able to control dengue. So in that sense, it is very complex to control dengue. That's why dengue, if we control, for example, the humans, we advise them not to travel if you are infected, but we still have the vector, we still have the mosquito, which can bite the infected person and can bring this virus to other places.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to control the mosquito also. And if, for example, we have a different serotype in the virus, any change of the different serotype can cause increase of cases or increased number of deaths in dengue. So that's why dengue is a very to control dengue is very complex, and we need a lot of various strategy to overcome dengue.
Does one build up immunity after getting dengue fever?
Yes, we have four serotypes for dengue virus, then one, then two, then three, and then four. So for example, if one person is infected with serotype then one,
mm-hmm.
he or she will be immunized, immune to this specific serotype.
Build up an immunity.
Yeah.
But to a certain extent, not 100%, right?
Yeah. to this particular serotype, yes, but not to the other three serotypes.
I see. So you can build up 100% immunity to Den 1.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But not to the Den 2, Den 3 and Den 4.
Okay.
So this person still have a risk to develop another three times of dengue infection.
I see. Okay. So we really have to be careful, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you go places and you really have no idea. Mosquitoes are everywhere, isn't it? What do you do? Are you paranoid about it?
Well, sometimes, yes. I think because if you see mosquitoes, you know that these mosquitoes can bring disease. But I think the best way is to protect yourself from being bitten from the mosquitoes. Like as mentioned, use repellents, use long sleeves, and use insecticide bed nets when you are sleeping at night. And prevention is the best way to avoid infections, vector-borne diseases. Infections. So I think we need to be more aware on what are the disease that we have around us, and we need to take actions on how to prevent this disease to occur.
What's currently being done in terms of surveillance and protection in Malaysia?
Well, in the Ministry of Health, we actually strengthen our surveillance systems, monitoring systems, which is for vector-borne diseases, for example, dengue. We monitor daily on the cases, deaths, outbreaks, localities, and the control activities, and also the health education activities towards in all states, nationwide. So, but our next missions actually to intensify on the community participations, especially in the prevention measure. So without the participations of the community and other agency, Ministry of Health will have a difficult time to control vector-borne diseases.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it is very important for the individual, the community and the other agency to take part in the prevention activity.
What do we need to do on a policy level to halt the spread of vector-borne diseases? Is there enough in place?
Yeah, I think we have, Ministry of Health has done everything, including legislations and compounding all the premises which breed mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important is the community participation, community awareness on the disease. And each of us must take their role and avoid any, for example, as simple as to avoid if there's any breeding places, in cleanliness. Cleanliness must be the first priority in our community.
But don't you think awareness is enough? I mean, people know. People are very aware of this, that, you know, they cannot have, you know, stagnant water around the house and how that will help breed the Aedes mosquito. I think a lot of us know it, but for some reason, there's something lacking somewhere. People are still not playing their part in certain areas. Which is it?
Yes, I do agree with you. When we did a survey, I think in 2006 and even in 2011, we found out that majority of the Malaysians know about dengue,
mm-hmm,
and know where actually the breeding places. However, and this knowledge was not translated into their actions in terms of preventive activities.
Is it a mindset where we think it's not our problem and it, you know, somebody else's problem?
Yeah, I think part of it, yes.
You know, because you really don't want to be infected with dengue. It is bad news.
Yes.
Especially if it's hemorrhagic, it's deadly.
Yes.
And that's, I think, some of us just take for granted.
Yes.
We have another question here from Siu Ling. She's saying, why do some people get bitten more than the others? She says, I always get bitten when those around me don't. Is there a reason for that? Or is that just our imagination?
No, there's a reason, because this mosquito also attracted into our chemical, for example, our sweat, the type of electrolyte that have in your sweat or in. So this actually attract mosquitoes more to certain
people more.
Yeah.
So it depends on how much electrolytes you have in your sweat. You need to do an analysis.
Actually, usually the mosquito attract to the sweat, the body sweat.
Right.
So.
Okay, that could be the reason. Yeah. Another question from Joe. He says, I have many plants in my garden and, of course, mosquitoes hide there. Does it mean I cannot grow plants? He's also suggesting that schools teach the children more, you know, as to how they shouldn't be littering because all that contributes towards dengue. But plants, what does that mean? Do we need to get rid of them?
No, not really. But you need to look after your plants. Means that there's no water collections at the bottom of your vase. Or
what I've found is mosquitoes love dark places within the leaves. And, you know, in if you have a lot of plants, they're in there.
Yeah.
There's no water, but they're there. It's a good, you know, they love to hibernate in there.
Yes. Yeah, of course, mosquitoes like dark places, dark color.
Yeah.
But I think if there's no water, they will, after some time, they will go away because they need to find humans or they need to find water for them to breathe. So if there's no water, they might not stay in there for so long because they need water to lay their eggs. So they are more favorable to find places where they can find water. Especially clear water.
Mm-hmm.
So if your plant is dry, they might not stay there so long because they need to find human to bite and they need to find water where they can lay their eggs. So I think it is you need to look after your places and avoid any water collections that can stay more than 1 week because at that time mosquito eggs can grow and then become adult mosquito within less than 1 week.
And is it my imagination or rainy weather is actually good because it reduces the spread or rather reduces dengue cases because flowing water means, you know, a lot of these eggs will no longer be stagnant as such. Is that a wrong theory?
If it's flooding, then it's okay. Flooding. If it's flat,
yes,
and it wash away everything, including the mosquitoes' eggs or larva. But if it's the alterations of rainy and dry seasons, it might not be in the same situation. It might actually produce places where you have a containers or a place where they can collect water.
Even more water.
Yeah, even more.
Are you enthusiastic or hopeful that we will find a vaccine or some sort of medication for dengue?
Yes, of course. I really hope that someday we can find a vaccine for dengue so that we can prevent the transmissions of dengue in our community.
Thank you very much for joining me today. It was a pleasure. Dr. Rose Nani Mudin, who's the head of Vector-Borne Disease Sector, Disease Control Division, Ministry of Health Malaysia, and this World Health Day, talking to us about vector-borne diseases, of course, dengue and malaria being the two main problems here in this country, more dengue than even malaria. On the bigger picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.